Mike Hogan from TSN 1050 in Toronto joins us. Mikey, how are you, my man?
Doing well. Not quite as well as Ricky Ray, but doing okay.
How do you think he'll be ready?
No. No, I would be stunned if he's ready. He threw again today.
Okay.
They took him off they activated him from the injured list, which is good news. He was throwing a little bit more today. He's maxing out at 25 yards right now. He said he was pain-free, which is good, but they're not going to rush this along. They're going to let him take his time, and Trevor Harris has been here for 3 years now, knows the offense inside and out, started the last game of the season last year and threw for 300 yards. So they've got a guy who knows the offense. They're ready to go, but you know they're not going to risk Ricky Ray long term to make sure he's ready for the game in Fort Max. So if you you grew up an Eskimo fan and you have a warm spot in your heart for Ricky because he was so good with the Eskimos, you're not going to see him in Fort McMurray this year.
Mike, as far as you know, the best timeline. I know it's open ended. You're not going to want to rush anything, as you said, which makes all the sense in the world. But best estimate right now from the club, if any.
I've talked to several different people, and everybody seems to have their own opinion. It's just how his arm is going to respond. He had rotator cuff surgery in the off season. It looked like he was a little bit ahead, then he was a little bit behind, and right now he seems to be right on schedule. So I would be stunned if he plays, and this is, again, just from what I've taken from other people, I'm certainly no expert in this. Ricky doesn't even know when he's going to be able to play, but I would guess if all seems to go well and he doesn't have any major setbacks, if he's ready for week 3, I think that would be a fairly optimistic guess, for lack of a better term. But, you know, if he's back, if he misses a month, I think they would be ready. If he's ready for, you know, August 1st, I think they'd be okay with that. But, you know, it's all guesswork right now. It's just how does the shoulder rehab.
You know, the quarterbacking position, if you don't have a quarterback, you can't play. So tell us about Trevor Harris. I know we did see him in the one game last year, Mike. How limited of an offensive package do you think they will run with him?
Trevor, it's funny because he's one of those guys, and he's teased by his teammates, and he will admit this freely. His idea of having fun is watching video. He loves football. He's just one of those guys that always has his nose in a playbook. And, he's been around here now and knows the offense inside and out. He knows the book as well as Ricky does. He doesn't get the same kind of reps, obviously, but, you know, his first year in Toronto was in 2012, and they won the Grey Cup. And so this will be his fourth year, all with Milanovic. He knows the offense inside and out. So, he's ready to go. I don't think there's any question of the knowledge being ready. It's just a question of, you know, he's not Ricky Ray, and, you know, what can he do in his stead? So I don't think they have any problem at all with Trevor Harris going in as a quarterback.
Mike, aside from the absence of Ricky Ray, what is the storyline that most intrigues you? What do you most want to know as we get deeper into camp here?
Well, I wrote about this on TSN.ca earlier in the week. To me, by far the most intriguing story is where the Argonauts are going to deploy their Canadian talent and how many they're going to play. Theoretically, especially with, you know, Edmonton native Cleon Lang coming back today, he ended his lockout and reported to camp. You could honestly start 12 guys who are Canadian. That's the kind of depth they have, and have a decent Canadian behind that player, which is astronomical. That's how good their Canadian talent is getting. So I just want to know how they're going to deploy it. Are they going to use Matt Black, who is a guy who has started at safety, as a backup safety now only to Jermaine Gabriel? Or are they going to experiment with him over at the field corner? Because he's played some corner. He's played more corner in his life than he has safety. Are they going to have 3 or 4 on the offensive line? How do they get Andre Dury and Anthony Coombs, who was their first-round pick a year ago, on the field at the same time? They're talking about playing Coombs, who is a University of Manitoba native of Winnipeg. They're teaching him Andre Dury's position as the R receiver. They're teaching him the tailback position, and they're teaching him the Z receiver spot, the wide side wide receiver on the field. So they've got to find a way to get him on the field. How are they going to do it? So there is a ton of Canadian talent here, and that has not always been the case here in Toronto. So Jim Barker and his staff have done a pretty good job the last two or three years assembling a pretty deep bunch of Canadians.
Mike Hogan from TSN 1050 joins us. Mike, you know, they're all the talk about the Argos. You haven't had you on since, you know, the announcement of, now the sale I know doesn't officially go till next season, but, yep. You know, it looks like they've got a home moving forward. And, you know, the I've long been a fan of the CFL, and I think there is a fan base in Toronto, but, you know, you need a facility, you need better home dates, can't be playing on Tuesdays or anything like that.
Yep.
How significant do you think it's going to be moving forward having the new ownership for the Argos?
Gigantic. This is absolutely win-win. Obviously, you know, the team having its own building would be ideal, but, you know, the ownership is stable. The ownership has deep pockets. Obviously, Bell has a vested interest owning TSN, wanting, you know, a team to thrive in the number one market in the country as far as population goes and, you know, where the business and home offices are. They want to be able to get clients out to the game and have them have a good time. I'll just give you something anecdotal that would maybe sum up what the Argos are hoping happens. And we have a host on one of our shows who is 31, and he's an NFL fan. He loves the NCAA, but he's like a lot of guys that age. He's not into the CFL. So I said, what would it take you? And he just looked at me and said, BMO. And this was on the weekend. He said, BMO's there. Talk to my boys. We're all pumped up. We're ready to go. And we're going to go check this thing out. There's room to tailgate now. It's going to be outdoor football. It's not going to be 15,000 people in a 50,000-seat stadium. They might get 30,000 a game at this new facility, the way that it seems to be playing out so far. And then it's going to be incumbent upon the Argonauts to win some games on the field. The demo that they're going to be chasing, at least right now, is talking a good game, and now it's just translating, getting people to come out. Because the one thing that I've mentioned on our broadcast time and time again, sometimes you have to be careful what you wish for, because we have had some hellacious rainstorms during Argonaut broadcasts, and you know what it's like in even in southern Ontario. It's certainly not northern Alberta, but you get that wind coming off Lake Ontario, and it's a freezing rainstorm. In fact, it was a game between the Eskimos and the Argonauts, the Grey Cup in 1982, where there was a freezing rainstorm, and that's the day that the Brain Trust in Toronto said, we have to get a covered stadium. And really, it was that Grey Cup game that led to the birth of then SkyDome, now Rogers Center.
Mike, it's interesting. It's like you were reading my mind. You talk about the bad weather outside. Just reading a piece here about Milanovic and the offense specifically talking about winning that turnover battle in bad conditions. When you're exposed to the elements, as you are in the Canadian Football League, it's a real important part of the game, and obviously something the Argos haven't been good enough at.
I'll guarantee you something. You sat down with Coach Milanovic and talked football, within 35 seconds, he would say either the word turnovers or penalties. That's what he preaches nonstop. Those are the things, and it's like any pro football coach or amateur football coach, those things kill you because for the most part, they're preventable. And that drives him insane. So yeah, the football is your friend is sort of the mantra that he wants around this football club. He always has, he always will. And you know what it's like when number 15 is a quarterback. He might not have the strongest arm in the world, but his accuracy is uncanny. And that's the kind of quarterback he wants in this offense. It's high percentage stuff. He eschews the long ball quite often, and you know, wants to go underneath and let the receivers make the plays. You'll see a 78-yard touchdown catch by Chad Owens, might be a 10-yard route, and then he'll make other guys miss. So that's the kind of football Milanovic prefers, very high percentage. And with the new rules in the CFL this year, I think you're going to see a lot of teams playing zone in the secondary. And boy, Ricky Ray, that's tailor-made for him.
Yeah, it's funny, Mike. I talk to a lot of guys who think if you play zone defense, it's going to be even harder to not get flagged. So a lot they think the defenders here in Edmonton think man-to-man will be better for them because in zone.
Really?
Because they feel in zone, you would wait till the guy comes to you, and then you kind of get your hands on him, and you can't.
Yeah.
And according to the rules, they think you're not going to be able to even touch a guy. A lot of the defenders think that if you're man-to-man right at the line of scrimmage, at least then you can lock him up in that 5 yards and hopefully get him off track. So I agree with you because I was kind of surprised because my initial thought was the same. same. But it was funny talking to some of the defensive guys. They think man-to-man might be might be a better place to be less fouls because you're just going to be running with the guy from the start.
They got all of the CFL on TSN guys together last week, and it was a day-long seminar, and the last guy to speak was Glenn Johnson, the head official. And they were nice enough to ask me to go to this thing. And Johnson broke everything down and brought in game film and was going over what is and what isn't a penalty now.
I know.
And we were kind of sitting back going, oh, my God, that's a penalty now? and you talk about those guys off the line, and I can see where they're coming from, because how many times have you seen, like they call it catch technique, where a receiver will come off the line and the defender will be in zone 10 yards back, and he'll kind of start the slow back pedal, and he'll let the offensive guy run into him, get his hands on him, and then kind of, move him one way or the other. They're going to allow the contact to a degree. They may call the offensive guy for this.
I agree.
But if he starts using his hands and bodies to direct the receiver, even in that, with that catch technique, they're going to call the defender. So it's unbelievable. The term that Glenn kind of wants the broadcasters use this year is a healthy 5 yards. Because I did ask him, I said, how zero tolerance are you going to be with the 5 yards? And he said, if a guy makes contact within the 5 yards and then the receiver starts going downfield, the defender turns with him, they'll give him a yard or two to get off. So they'll give him 6 or 7 yards to make sure he gets off, but he's got to make the effort to get away from the contact with the receiver. So it's not going to be zero tolerance where if you're touching him 5.5 yards, they'll give him sort of that extra step to make the play. But if you initiate contact 7 yards downfield, whether or not if the ball's not out of the hand of the quarterback and you touch a receiver 7 yards downfield, out comes the flag, 10-yard penalty.
I think it might be flag happy early on in the year, and then a lot of the DBs told me in these are the rules they have in NCAA, so they think some new guys, this shouldn't be a transition. It's going to be harder, I think, for experienced guys who have been able to play and learn how to do it to their advantage. So I'm very much looking forward to it, even to see the receivers. As Darius Bowman said, he's the king of push-offs. Well, that's not going to happen either now. So
and Glenn Johnson said we're going to be we're going to be very, very tight on the offensive guys too. It's just not going to be the defenders. They want this fast flow football now in the Canadian Football League. They want it back, and by God, if they're going to call the rules like this, they'll get the fast flow eventually, but it might be kind of slow motion earlier on, because I agree with you. I think there are going to be a lot of flags on a lot of veterans as they get used to the new rule, the way the new rules are going to be called.
Mike, always great to talk to you. Have a good one.
Enjoy it, guys. Thank you very much.